You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 19th of September 2025. Later, we'll be talking about the changes to some Centrelink payments, including the age pension, that's soon. But first to the Australian share market, which rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.3% to 8,773. 7 of 11 sectors ended higher. The best performing included healthcare, information technology and property stocks, the worst telecommunications and consumer staples. And of the best and worst performing stocks, the best stocks included Generation, Telex Pharmaceuticals, the worst, Iluka Resources and Genesis Minerals. For more on that and the day's market action, I spoke with Stephanie Youssef. Stephanie Youssef spoke with Omkar Joshi from Opal Capital Management.
So Omkar, fresh records on Wall Street, yeah, fueled by tech stocks. Why and can this continue?
I think there is definitely more legs in this rally, just given that we do have a backdrop of lowering rates, both in the US and broadly in the rest of the world as well. So given that, there is obviously a bit more of risk appetite surfacing, and it is fair to assume that we can see more of this thematic extending.
Are there fears that AI rally is reaching bubble territory?
I don't think necessarily we are in a bubble as yet. You know, there might be certain names, maybe some of the software names, which aren't necessarily trading, you know, in line with their fundamentals. But at the same time, if we look at some of the chip makers, say NVIDIA's, even Intel, or some of the data center operators, there's probably more upside in there, just given the fact that irrespective of which technology eventually wins out and how AI actually plays out, you do still need chips, you still need data centers, and they really are the backbones for this whole new step change in where we're going.
How are investors feeling about the interest rate outlook now, both in the US and over here in Australia?
So I think investors at the moment are more comfortable with the interest rate outlook. We do have an environment where rates are moving lower. The market's pretty well across that. We've seen that from the Federal Reserve the other day with their commentary. Yes, there is going to be more data dependence on further rate cuts, but it's an easing environment. That means that risk sentiment, risk appetite will probably be reasonably healthy. And so it's a pretty good environment overall.
Yesterday, Australia's biggest cash takeover in Santos failed. What do you make of that? Because it's the third time such a deal has fallen through. Is it company specific, or do you think it's more indicative of a much more broader issue?
So I think it's always hard to draw inferences from, you know, three takeovers have failed. Yes, they've happened over a number of years. So they could well be indicative of something potentially wrong with Santos, but I think more likely they're probably specific to each of the instances rather than something being necessarily wrong with Santos as such. So look, having said all that, it's very hard to know from the outside in terms of our disclosures. They're just what the company puts out there. Yes, the others have had more DD, so potentially they've seen more, but it's more likely than not that it's specific to each of their circumstances rather than something that's symptomatic of something necessarily wrong with Santos. And so the environment is such that with any of these deals or any takeover, it's a non-binding indicative deal. There is always risk or scope for these to fall over. It could be in due diligence. It could be for a range of other reasons, pricing, other terms, etc. So there's always risk in these deals, and it's frankly, it's never done until it's actually done.
Finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where are the opportunities for investors?
So I think at the moment, it still pays to be very bottom-up, stock-specific and fundamental, as opposed to necessarily piling into a theme or getting on to the next, you know, next thing that's interesting to everyone. So while, like I was saying in the AI piece, there are definitely opportunities within that. Might be, say, within the data centers, might be within the chip makers, rather than necessarily just piling into the space as a whole. So ultimately, where I'm looking is really be bottom-up, stock-specific, and ultimately invest in what you're across and what you actually understand.
Omkar Joshi there from Opal Capital Management. Now, from tomorrow, a number of social welfare payments will increase, including the age pension, carer payment and disability support pension. They'll rise by $29.70 a fortnight for singles and $44.80 for couples, and it will happen automatically. Superfund HESTA, though, is calling for reforms to reduce tax disadvantages for those receiving the payments and wanting to work. For more, I spoke with Josh Parasotto, Chief Engagement and Growth Officer at HESTA. Josh, first of all, how significant is tomorrow's increase to the age pension and why?
We've seen the increase to the cost of living in recent years, so any increase is really welcomed. While it's not huge in isolation, it will no doubt be really well received to those who are on an age pension.
Your research shows significant barriers, though, for pensioners who want to continue to contribute to the workforce. How so?
That's right, Ricardo. Our research shows that Australians on the age pension who want to work are often faced with effective marginal tax rates of between 60 and 80%. This is higher than the income tax rates of the highest income earners in Australia. The reason for this is the income test taper rate. It means a part pensioner's age pension benefit is cut by 50 cents for every dollar earned above the tax-free threshold. But I wouldn't mind using the example of a single pensioner or a couple with only one partner working. When increasing employment income from $25,000 a year to $30,000 a year, their income increases by only $5,000, but their take-home pay only rises by less than $1,200 per annum.
So, how can this be changed?
Well, what HESTA is calling for are reforms to create a fairer system that includes indexing the work bonus threshold to wage growth and simplifying the age pension tax offset rules. There is significant economic benefit to be tapped into, and we can help address the skill shortages, particularly in critical areas like health and community services, the industries we serve and we speak with members each and every day.
And you've commissioned research on a range of things like sources of retirement funding and reasons for retirees, I guess, wanting to return to work. What did it find?
Well, our research shows the top reasons for returning to work within our members are led by social interactions, financial reasons, and fulfillment and purpose. So it's really, really important for our members through this process to feel like they're making a contribution to our society. For our members who are often at the very heart of the care economy, nurses, aged care workers, childcare workers, they're critical to our society in wanting to make this difference.
That is Josh Parasito there, the Chief Engagement and Growth Officer at HESTA. That ends the podcast for the day and for the week. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.